thank you guys so much for joining today. Really glad to have you along for a little free webinar we're entitled LinkedIn Essentials. I know many of you probably heard about this through our People and Projects podcast. It's a podcast that's hosted on iTunes, typically 2 episodes a month or so. If you're not familiar with it, make sure you check it out. The URL is there for the web version, and you can also get it on iTunes. The focus of the podcast is two things, really: how to help people deliver and how to help us do a more effective job of leading. All right, so a couple ground rules as we go through our session here today, and that is I generally like these if you keep your phone off mute instead of muted. You have to know what your background noise is like there, and so I know we've got some people from overseas that registered, and so sometimes the line quality is a little tough. So if you are able to, without a lot of background noise, I'd love for you to keep your phone off mute. It keeps it a little bit more interactive. Also, when it's time to speak up, if I throw out a question to you, feel free to say, hey, this is Tim from, and then say where you're from, or this is Howard from Northbrook. Feel free to do that. And the other thing I wanted to do is to encourage you to use the chat feature. You should be able to see it on the lower left of your screen. I actually invite you to do it pretty liberally. And that could be, if you have a question, certainly you could throw it out there. But also, if you're like, or if you've got, Kathy, nice job, you're testing. Very well done. And so if you listen to my interview with Kathy Davidson this fall, she's an expert on kind of the new workplace and education. And what you find is, in fact, that's actually a way to stay engaged. And so it could be anything from you want to make a note to me, like, Andy, I can't hear you, to Kathy, I agree with you, or it could be anything. But I'm going to encourage you to use the chat feature liberally, okay? And to that end, what I want you to do is, using that chat feature, I want you to answer this question. How would you rate your current knowledge of LinkedIn? Answer it any way that you feel comfortable doing that. But how would you rate your current knowledge of LinkedIn? I see everything from fairs to lows. All right, so like if you're a 10 out of 10, Paul, you probably like wouldn't be on the call, right? And so Jack, kind of decent. That's a good way of saying it. That's pretty much expected. So that's good to hear. So we're gonna, even though this is a session on LinkedIn, we're gonna spend a fair amount of time actually not in the tool. Because what I find is if we have a better understanding of the tool behind it, we can actually use it more effectively. So this is what I want you to do. Is based on your understanding, how would you summarize what LinkedIn is in a sentence? Okay? So go ahead and try that in the chat window. If you had to put it in a sentence, how would you define it? I can't tell you the number of times I hear it's Facebook for adults, or Facebook for professionals, networking. Yeah, a B2B Facebook call. Yeah, that's good. Jake. Glad you could join us, Jake. Yeah. So it kind of varies depending on how people look at it. In fact, a lot of people, I have to say the most consistent thing I hear is it's like Facebook, only professional. Yeah, certainly Kathy, the place to look for a job. Certainly hear that a lot as well. Well, how about instead of us taking a stab at it, we actually see what LinkedIn says that what it is? So check it out. They say they're the world's largest professional network, so that what you said about professional, those of you included that, that's certainly part of it here. The last count I heard was over 120 million. It depends on how often you check out the numbers there, but over 120 million people in there, growing rapidly. And what do they say it's about? It's about connecting you to trusted contacts. So there's that thing, Facebook has friends, this has trusted contacts. And also helps you exchange these knowledge, ideas, and opportunities with a broader network of professionals. It's actually a pretty good definition. So it's not just about this group of people, but also something beyond this group of trusted contacts as well. And when it comes to my take on it, it's a tool. And there are so many different ways to think of it as a tool. A major part of it certainly is a relationship management tool. Jeff, you said there the networking with rocket fuel. I suppose depending on how you use it, it could be that. But it's a relationship management tool. Also, you could think of it as a people searching tool. And this is maybe related to that next point there about the prospecting or sales tool. I mean, if you're in a role Chicago area where I'm from, they actually blocked LinkedIn for their people because they were afraid that their people would be out looking for jobs. And I have to tell you, just blocking a site is going to keep people from, you know, staying away from looking for jobs. Or they're afraid they're going to get poached by other people. But instead of looking at it as a tool to help them hire, they were trying to put a firewall around the organization. I thought that was kind of interesting. Beyond that, how about a business intelligence tool? I'm amazed what you can find out about your competitors. In fact, the way I use it is not as much about a competitor, but I look at people who are doing a similar sort of thing as me, but maybe they're 5 years ahead of me or 10 years ahead of me. What is it that they're doing? Who are they connecting with? Based on who they're connected with, I can tell where they're doing training at or other things. It's amazing the business intelligence that you can actually get off there. How about a reputation management? This is your opportunity to set your own reputation. What is it that people know about you? What is it you want people to know about you? What is the, you know, how do you want to position yourself out there, whether it's for you as an individual or if you're a business owner as well? And then certainly as a marketing tool, there are ways that I get the word out about my business that before I started using LinkedIn and some of the other tools, it just didn't get near the exposure. And so there's just a lot of different ways of looking at a tool. But especially since based on the list here, I know many of you come from an IT background. It's very easy for us to think that the tool is the answer. And we have all kinds of examples of this, right? Of you bring in Lotus Notes about 15 years ago, and then you can never get it out of your organization. Or this is supposed to solve, if you bring in a certain tool, this is supposed to solve all of our problems. You know, perhaps you've heard it said before that for the man who's got a hammer, everything looks like a nail. And so some people think of LinkedIn as it's just this, where in fact there are just so many additional uses. And so when you think about these are all the different aspects that we have as a potential tool, the tools are there to serve an objective. That's really what it's all about. It's only to serve as an objective. So I've had the opportunity to work with over 130 different coaching clients. And after intersecting with literally hundreds of organizations and many, many different executive coaching clients, something I've learned is that the dirty little secret of business is that it's all about relationships. It's all about relationships. Everything comes down to relationships. Now, I think it's fair to say that there's nothing that's dirty about it. It's certainly not little, right? It's actually really, really important. And we could argue that it's not a secret. That said, what I find is too often we think it's the smartest one who wins. In fact, maybe in the context of LinkedIn, we might say it's the person with the most contacts who wins. But we think it's the person who's the smartest, has the highest GPA, that they're the person who wins. And in fact, if it comes to learning about relationships, if we learn anything about this in school, perhaps it's who to sit next to, you know, maybe it would help us get a better GPA. But a lot of times we just don't learn this sort of stuff. And even as business people, we know that relationships are critical. In fact, I've got a keynote and a workshop and an e-learning session called The Dirty Little Secret of Business, and it's based on this entire concept of it all comes down to relationships. The reason why people do business with your company, probably the reason why you were hired, the reason why you got your last promotion, all of it comes down to relationships. And ultimately, that's what LinkedIn is all about. At one point, they had a tagline on their homepage before you'd sign up that relationships matter. It is all about relationships, and that has to do with our professional relationships, relationships with team members, with clients. It's all about relationships, but we need a strategy to do this effectively. So let's talk about strategy. Are you familiar with the term personal brand? You know, I think it kind of comes off as a little marketing-oriented, and so if you're not familiar with the term or the concept, that's cool. I know there are some people that focus purely on helping organizations develop their brand, and that's not my focus at all. My focus is helping individuals, when I'm doing leadership coaching or management coaching, kind of help them develop their personal brand. And the way I like to think of personal brand, there are many different ways to define it, but one way is when someone hears your name, Howard Silver, or Bobby Taruk, or Andy Kaufman, what are some of the first words that people would use to describe you? Isn't that kind of an interesting concept? And what I find is a lot of times we're kind of blind to this. But the reason I ask is I had an opportunity to work with a coaching client, and this is the first thing he said to me. He goes, Andy, I feel like I'm being treated like the class. being the class clown, because that's how he's interacting in meetings. That's how his visual face, or even his electronic face to the world, the way he handled his emails, even his LinkedIn profile. He went from that to being a trusted advisor for his boss. So just for an example, it's one thing to talk about. Here's the brand that I'm working on. I'm all about delivering projects and developing leaders. That's a big part of what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to find what are some additional ways to be more engaging when I'm doing workshops, to keep it practical so it's actionable. I really don't care if someone after a workshop or keynote says, he's a really smart guy. I honestly don't care about that anymore. But what I want to be known for is, man, after I spent that time in this webinar, let's say, or during a keynote, that was helpful. I can walk away learning something because of that. And easy to work with in my business, there are actually a lot of prima donnas and people who they think just because they can give a speech, they walk on water. And so certainly a big thing that I've learned is if you're easy to work with, you're going to get more business. That's part of the brand I'm working on. And so what about makes problems go away? It doesn't matter if it was interesting. Did I have a problem that I walked in with, and does it go away? So that's the brand I'm working on. I think it's an interesting question. What's the brand that you're working on? Now, I have to say, I unpack this a lot more in our Dirty Little Secret of Business session. But what I find is if you use LinkedIn as a tool, but you don't think about this stuff ahead of time, you're not as effective in it. So have you guys ever heard of having an elevator speech? Somebody in the chat window just mentioned, what's an elevator speech? In fact, Howard, you're on the line, right? Why don't you unmute if you're muted, but what's an elevator speech?
Well, basically, an elevator speech you go in and it's like, how do you describe yourself in like 2 to 3 minutes to someone?
Yeah. That's a long elevator ride, 2 to 3 minutes, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's even less. Basically, like two and three sentences. How do you describe yourself?
That's exactly it. If someone comes up to Howard or Jim or Jeff, any of us, and says, what do you do? We ought to be able to answer that pretty succinctly. What does your company do? Like Sean, you said there, right? In a short amount of time, maybe 30 seconds or less, and it's a good point. It's not just the what, but it's something that's kind of engaging, right? Tell me about your team. A lot of times we think of elevator speeches in the context of how do you get a job and answering what do you do. And that's certainly where I'm going with this as we talk about LinkedIn Ascension. But you can even have it at a project level. Now, in our leadership fast track program in different settings, I unpack a lot more about how do you develop an elevator speech. But this is one of the formulas that I teach. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but for me, just for an example, so you can maybe see how you might apply this to you, a key part of an elevator speech is, well, who am I targeting this to? Because, you may have different aspects to it. So I typically target project managers, executives, maybe people that want to be higher level leaders someday. A key part of getting across what do you do is, well, what's the problem you're trying to solve? So anybody close to projects will definitely know that there's all kinds of problems with slip deadlines. And Kathy, in answer to your question, absolutely. I will send out a copy of the slides to everybody who joined the session. But not only what's the problem, but what's the outcome? Okay. So my outcome that I'm really trying to get across is successful project delivery, better performing teams, better business results. Now, and a longer version of elevator speech might be some examples of how that was done, and then a call to action. Well, the reason I share this with you is when you put together your LinkedIn profile, too many people think that it's all about just uploading a resume, right? That's what I do is I upload a resume. I got to tell you, I'm to the point, I don't even believe resumes anymore because people can put anything on a resume. There's something about LinkedIn, the fact that it's public and someone else may look at it, and the fact that Tom Freeman used to work with me, and so when I put something up there, Tom could see that. He might be like, Andy, what are you smoking, man? You never did that stuff. And so I tend to believe it a little bit more, but I also want to think through, it's not a biography, so what is it that I do want to include in there? And so, for example, on my LinkedIn profile, part of the LinkedIn profile is a headline, a very short version of my elevator speeches, helping companies improve their ability to deliver projects and lead teams. I mean, if I got to get it down to like 10 words or less, that's pretty close to what it comes down to. So when you come up with your headline, you need to think, what is it? Is it IT professional? Is it a software developer? Is it just your title? You probably want to think a little bit broader about how do I want to position myself there. And then also beyond just the headline in LinkedIn, LinkedIn, there's the summary. And so, you know, I'm not going to read the whole thing to you, but to highlight this section here, works with organizations around the world. I wanted to be clear that my target is not just the Chicago area or the Midwest, that speaking every continent except Antarctica so far. And so it's, where is it that I do my work? What is it that I focus on, delivering projects and leading teams? A little bit more down here, and then down later on is the call to action. Now, a call to action as a business owner makes it a little, is a little bit easier. This is what I want you to do. I want you to go off and buy this, or sign up for this, or do something like that. As a salesperson, there might be a call to action there as well, as here's more information. And as a somebody that is looking for a job, the call to action might be along the line is, here's my personal website that you can learn more. There's all kinds of ways you can use that. But if you just jump into LinkedIn and just upload your resume, you're not thinking it through enough. Now, not only can it help you come up with a better understanding of what to put in your profile, if you do a really good job of this, it can really help your ability to influence. One of the modules in our Leadership Fast Track program, which has a number of sessions kind of like this, 2 hours or less, we have people from all over the world, and there's executive coaching in it. We go into this in a lot more detail, but if you're familiar with influence research at all, you've probably heard of Robert Cialdini. If you've sat through any of my project management sessions or leadership sessions, I talk about Cialdini a lot. Two books, highly recommended if you're looking for something to read over the holidays here or into next year, Influence, the Psychology of Persuasion. It's a classic in this space. And one of the things that Cialdini talks about in that book is what he calls 6 weapons of influence. And what I want you to do is I want you to understand how these weapons of influence actually tie to how you could use LinkedIn. For example, one of them is basically it's reciprocity. Okay, so let's see, reciprocity. Sean, you spent time doing sales before. What's reciprocity?
Well, reciprocity is what it is that it's basically kind of doing a circle of giving and receiving. People will help you out, but you want to help people out as well, too. So you use this as an opportunity to, if someone's going to help you out, how can you help that person out, which will then really help you expand your network, your positive network in LinkedIn.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there are all kinds of ways you see this happen. You know, a reciprocity in the context of LinkedIn is inevitably, if you do a recommendation for somebody, you will often get one back. Now, I have learned, don't do it for sleazy reasons. I mean, don't do a recommendation for somebody that you really wouldn't recommend just because you want a recommendation, right? With all the influence techniques, in fact, Cialdini really breaks this down very well, you don't do them for sleazy reasons. But reciprocity is alive and well. And recommendations make a big difference. It's part of what we'll talk about down there with social proof. So reciprocity is if you do something for someone, they're much more likely to do something for you. That's one of the weapons of influence. One of the cool things about the Cialdini books is that he tells you not only how to use it, but how to defend against it when someone uses it on you. But LinkedIn definitely has that. Maybe you do introductions. You introduce somebody through LinkedIn, and they're more likely to help you out later on. How about commitment and consistency? This says, through Cialdini's research, that if you make a commitment, you're more likely to follow through on it. Well, that's brilliant, isn't it? Well, the part of the research behind this is the more public you do that, the more likely you're going to follow through on that. And so if you make a commitment, like let's say that for Josh is on the call. Josh has a great suite of offerings for project managers at pmstudent.com, okay? If he actually puts something live, if there's going to be event that Josh is going to be facilitating, he puts it publicly. The more public you make it, the more likely he's actually going to do it, as opposed to what a lot of us will do sometimes and say, oh, that's a neat idea. I think I'll do this. The more public we do it, the more likely we'll follow through with it. Social proof says, in ambiguity, we tend to follow the crowd. Okay? This is where on commercials people say 9 out of 10 dentists, wink, wink, that we paid. They don't say that part. But 9 out of 10 dentists use our product or recommend our product. Social proof in the context of LinkedIn really comes down to your recommendations. Now, if you've got 2 recommendations on there, that's better than 0. But I got to tell you, if you've got 50, after a while, people aren't going to read them, but they're just going to be like, man, look at that Rob. I mean, that Rob is a stud. Look, I mean, he just, look what they're saying about him. And so basically what that says is, everyone else thinks the guy or thinks that Kathy is awesome. That adds a lot of credibility to it. Social proof is powerful. Authority is, in fact, Cialdini has some amazingly and scary research about what we will do under authority. He basically has research that says we will compromise our values, even though we don't think we would do that. It's amazing what we'll do under authority. Well, what's the equivalent under authority for LinkedIn? One version of authority is titles. Yeah? If you have titles or certifications, you know, that shows it's a version of expert power, for example. That's there. If you have certain accomplishments, you have that there. Certain credibility that you can get online and you can actually have shown within LinkedIn. It's very, very powerful. Scarcity is probably the hardest one to tie directly to LinkedIn. Basically, scarcity is you want more of what you can't have. Okay? Now, people use this all the time where they say, if you buy before the end of the year, you know, then you can get this deal. Right? That's scarcity. I just want to go into just a little bit more detail because there are many ways that you can use that within LinkedIn. The research behind liking is people prefer to say yes to individuals they like. You know, if they like the person, they respect it, they know the person, you're more likely to do it. Well, once again, that makes sense, but Cialdini breaks it down more. So, for example, this one's kind of funny to me. Physical attractiveness, okay? The idea is if someone is physically attractive, they're more likely to be seen as, the halo effect is, smarter, more insightful, you know, more likely to be ready for that next level. It's actually crazy. It makes no sense. It's not fair. There's research that you get more favorable judgments from judges or juries if someone's more physically attractive. Now, the reason I bring this up is, you know, we pretty much only got what God's given us, right? And you know what? That's pretty much what I have. And I don't care how much surgery I get, I'm not going to look like this, right? I mean, that's just reality. And so, what's the application to us? Well, part of it could be in the workplace, as we get more and more, you know, casual in the workplace, there is something to be said for how you dress can send out a message from a personal brand perspective. From a LinkedIn perspective, I think it has implications on your picture. Okay? And I'll show you some examples of this once we actually get into the tool. I think we got some implications there. But you have to realize it does affect our influence. Another aspect of liking is similarity. We like people who are like us, okay? And people use this all the time. In fact, what Cialdini found is, like, let's say there's a LinkedIn page. Let's say you went to Notre Dame, and all of a sudden someone's looking at your profile. And now, Sean, I don't know if you went to Notre Dame, but somebody go, man, Sean went to Notre Dame too. Man, you know, if whatever bridges people can make, that, you know, maybe it's a similar industry. It's amazing how that can actually improve your ability to influence. Now, what am I trying to get to this? Well, if you come from an IT background, sometimes we use phrases like this, right? Talk to the Scrum Master at tomorrow's stand-up to find out how many story points we can fit in the next sprint. Jake on the call. Jake, you'd be heard saying something like that. Well, you know what? I gotta tell you, to the rest of the world, they think you just spoke Chinese or something, right? They don't get that. And so one version of similarity is, how do we communicate? Can we do a better job of using the language of our target? And so if you're presenting to senior management, you don't talk like that, right? You learn to use their business. From a LinkedIn perspective, you have to think of who's my target and what kind of phrasing do I want to use? I mean, if you're looking for a highly technical target, then you might have a little bit more talk like that. But another way to actually use this is within LinkedIn, there's the ability to note what skills do you have. And so you might want to think through, what are the skills that are going to make a difference to the target that I'm trying to get here? What are the groups that I want to join? Because the people who are likely to hire me, promote me, buy my stuff, refer me elsewhere, hang out in these groups. And so that is a version of similarity. And then I mentioned the Notre Dame thing. I didn't go to Notre Dame. But, you know, alumni. There are ways within LinkedIn now to plug in with other people that graduated with you. And you never know where relationships like that can lead. Another part of liking, still breaking down liking, is praise. That, you know, generally speaking, if you praise people, if you show appreciation, they like you more, and you're more influential. Of course, you have to be really, really careful with this. In fact, I think we all know people who've tried too hard to be liked before, right? And so you have to be careful about that, because if it comes off as insincere or you're faking it, and people can usually tell if you're faking it, you just got to be really, really, really careful. But the, you know, applying this to LinkedIn, there are a number of ways that you can use the tool to actually dish out some praise or some compliments or some appreciation. that's something to consider as well. And the final aspect of the liking is what he calls increased familiarity. The idea is that you can have stronger relationships with people if you have repeated contact under positive circumstances. I think that's an interesting way of looking at that. Because think about in the project context, because I know a lot of you are related to projects. Can't you just think of certain stakeholders that you're just like, I want to spend as little time as possible with this person. Like to go out to lunch with this person would make me lose my appetite. I really dislike this person. So we want to have the opposite of this, and that is infrequent contact, and it's usually under negative circumstances. No. What Cialdini found is you do just the opposite. You try to have repeated contact under positive circumstances. Now, there are all kinds of different ways of doing this. With executive coaching clients, certainly I recommend, the more time you can spend with food over with stakeholders, that's usually good. It's usually considered to be a positive circumstance. You have to find ways when it's not the heat of battle that you can interact with people. Like I tell you, LinkedIn is all over that. If you see a status update from someone that you want to build a relationship with, you can just make a comment about that. Hey, congratulations. That's cool. Or, hey, thanks for the link. I found that very helpful. It's a very small contact, but it's under positive circumstance. If they do something, there often is that ability, as in Facebook and some other places, where you can say you'd like it. Positive circumstance, it's a contact with them. Just sending them a brief message. All of those are ways to do it. I'm telling you, even outside the context of LinkedIn, the reason why I wanted to spend time with this on it is I find even if you do just a few of these things, it can make you more influential. And one definition of leadership, if you have to get it down to a word, John Maxwell says, is influence. And so if you can develop these influencing skills, can you present yourself? Can I present myself well? How can I build bridges to people? How can I use the tool, not just to upload my resume, but to actually use it to develop more influential skills? Okay? That's what I want you to do. Go to your go to the chat window, and what I want you to do is type in, what do you associate with the term social networking, okay? What do you associate with the term social networking? Type it in. What would you say? Person. Yeah? Keeping up with friends, status updates, connecting with others. Family and friends, Kathy, yeah? Yeah, Jack, you know, that's kind of an interesting twist, isn't it? It's the, we can go to an extreme and we don't have any of the face-to-face. And Jim, you bring up an interesting point. I just read an article last week that talked about the dangers of Facebook, and it says, how many people actually put up on Facebook? Oh, some people do. Having a lousy day, or just gained another 5 pounds, or, almost always it's, I am so awesome today, right? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that we actually put up there. And so, the danger is because we typically compare ourselves with other people that we can actually unduly feel bad that, man, maybe we're not keeping up. So anyway, it's an interesting way to consider, how do I use social networking? But this is what I find. Too often what people say, social networking, it's a giant time sink. It's a waste of time. That's what it is. And so the key I found is you've got to have a strategy. Now, the strategy is really going to depend on your role, right? And if you're in our session here today and you're a salesperson, chances are you're going to have a different strategy than someone who's just looking for a job, or someone who is owning a business and they want to find some ways to find prospects or to get word out about their products or services. If you're a corporate leader, let's say you're part of a PMO, you don't have products to sell outside of that. How could you use it? Well, there's certain strategies you can use for that. Authors, there's all different kinds of ways that you can use it. So it depends on your role. So you got to think through how you're going to do it. Now, it's one thing for me to say, here's a strategy. What I find is we often learn better. I know I learn better if I have some examples. So, for example, this is my social networking strategy. The first part is I want to stay in touch with people, but a minimal time commitment. Now, Jack brought up the point before that a lot of this stuff is actually replacing the face-to-face, and we really have to be careful with that. But there are a lot of people that I'm just not going to pick up the phone and call to see how they're doing, and just because geographic maybe, I'm not going to actually run into them. But doggone it, because of social networking, I can at least find out what's going on in their world and maybe have some brief interaction. And LinkedIn is part of that, as well as some other tools. I mentioned send out cards there. Technically, send out cards is not a social networking tool, but I use it as part of my electronic strategy for the same reason. The second part of my strategy is, how can I add value to other people? How can we add value? Because of reciprocity, and actually just because this is good to do in life, regardless if we get anything back. But if Jake is working on something, part of his strategy, if there's something I can do to add value to him, Jake, you're thinking about doing a podcast, I seem to recall, you know what? The more I teach somebody else about how to do a podcast, it is all good. It helps them. It adds value. Whether it's LinkedIn or some other tools, it's all the better. But if you can find ways to either connect people or add value, and social networking has all kinds of opportunities to do that. The third one is from a building my business perspective. Now, this wouldn't make as much sense if you don't have this as part of your model, but when I first came out with my podcast and I'd maybe send out emails about it, or if certain people would subscribe, I'd maybe get like 1,000 downloads a month, something like that. After using social networking as ways to get the word out, I get over 9,000 downloads every month. From a business perspective, there's just many different ways to get the word out, many, many different channels to do it. And depending on what you're trying to get the word out, or what it is you're trying to get the word out about, it may be part of your strategy to do that. And then the fourth and final part of my strategy is, I just wanted to learn by experimenting. I can't tell you the number of times I would say to people, there's no way I'm going to sign up for Facebook. This is going to be a waste of time, I'm just not going to do it. Well, I signed up because I wanted. Actually, the reason why we signed up is we had some godchildren that were out of town. They're out east. We couldn't get them to respond to calls. We couldn't get them to respond to email, maybe texting. But the way we could stay involved in their life was through Facebook. But what we learned was that there was just so many different ways to use the tools. And you don't learn it if you don't experiment with it. Yeah, Sean, what's your question, bud?
Yeah, hi, Andy. Good webinar so far. Could you go back to slide or point number 3 under my social networking strategy? I had a question.
Yeah. The third point?
Yeah. There we go. Domain-specific sites like projectmanagers.net, Test Republic, and things, they're not necessarily social sites or whatever. Are these right. Social additional social sites, but they're more specific to certain types of groups, or how do you define that?
Yeah, I'm glad you asked that. At least projectmanagers.net is a Ning-based, N-I-N-G, a Ning-based site. And basically, any one of us on this in this call today, we could create our own social networking site if we wanted to. And it could be called, you name it. And it has the ability to, you can have friends and profiles and things like that. So projectmanagers.net, It's not even the most popular one, but it is an example of one that I use to kind of get the word out about stuff. I don't really spend a whole lot of time there, but I use it to get word out on things. Test Republic for people that are more on the QA side. So the point on that one is, if you're like, I don't know if you're still in the education space there, Sean, but if so...
I'm in the training space.
But if so, there could be areas that are specific to that. And... Jake, you talked about more of an Agile-specific group. Certainly LinkedIn groups, that's a really good point, Jake, could serve the same purpose. In fact, I'm starting to use that more, for example, in our Leadership Fast Track program. Instead of starting yet another website that's out there for collaboration, we actually use a LinkedIn group, but we keep it private for where we do the collaboration. And so, that is definitely a good point. So with all of these, the key is just thinking through where does it make the most sense for us to get the word out about what we're doing, and as well as not just out but also in, to tap in to what's going on. So some things to keep in mind here is that regardless of which tools, and we're focusing on LinkedIn here today, but you have to manage your brand, and you just have to be thinking about what is the message that I'm sending. And I can't tell you the number of times that I've looked at people's picture on LinkedIn. In fact, one of my favorites was a guy from over in Hungary. I was doing some teaching over in Eastern Europe, and after I got back to the States, he asked me to look at his profile. And his picture on his profile looked like he was lighting up a joint. I mean, the way he dressed, everything looked like he was, smoking pot is what it looked like. I told that story actually at a Development Conference, and there was a guy from the Netherlands who came up afterwards. He goes, Andy, what's wrong with smoking a joint? Well, maybe in the Netherlands it isn't a problem, right? But you know what? For chances are that that's something that you want to consider. Now, Kathy, you got a question of, is having a picture important? Now, I asked this to Wayne Breitbart when I had him on my podcast, the last episode that was published, and I agree with Wayne and most people that I followed with this, is that really one of the biggest values of this is people tend to remember faces. And so later on when someone's like, Kathy, who's Kathy? Oh, yeah, that's Kathy. That's one of the reasons. Sometimes people don't want to do it because they're like, well, if I put my picture up there, they're going to see I'm not 20 years old anymore, and I don't look like Brad Pitt. And so I don't want people to judge me based on my looks. Well, and I get that. I'm not saying you have to do this, but there is an element of which that if someone, let's say I was going to be a job seeker, if someone wasn't going to hire me because I look like I'm 51 years old, well, if that's the case, then I don't want to be hired by them anyway. And so generally speaking, I find that there's more upside than downside to having a picture. Even on searches, as Wayne says, your eyes tend to go to the ones that have pictures. You have to think before you post. I am amazed what people will post. And so certainly there's maybe more danger of this on Facebook because people tend to think of LinkedIn as more professional. But I got to tell you, I've seen stuff on LinkedIn that I'm like, I wonder if the person realizes what that's saying about them. So not my place to judge. It's ours individually to say, what are the messages I want to get out? In fact, when I use Facebook, I'm about 70% professional. And the most personal stuff I put in there, I have security and settings such that it's only a very small group of people that actually see it. And so the key decisions are, what are your goals? What are the tools you're going to use? And, you know, I will regularly have people say, man, Andy, you must be on LinkedIn every day or Plaxo or Facebook or Twitter. You know, I log into Twitter maybe once a month, but I use Ping.fm and Hootsuite as ways that you can use all your different social networking sites you can link those to these tools, put in one status update, and it pushes them out to all of those. And so that's an example of a way I can still kind of get some messages out, but also minimize the amount of time I need to do. But you have to think through, well, how much time do I really want to spend? How personal do I want to get? All these are questions that you need to answer, and it's really not things that I would be able to answer for you. What is it that you're actually comfortable with? It's like Jake said, the more that you get out there, there's more opportunity for you to actually get access, maybe calls you don't want or contacts you don't want, a spam that you don't want to get. Jack, your question, ping.fm. Ping.fm is just a website. That's the URL. You can see it when I send out the slides to you guys, but also you can just go ping.fm, put that URL in. And what you do is you tie your Facebook ID and password, your Twitter, your LinkedIn, the same thing with Hootsuite. Both of those tools are free. So I'm a cheapskate, right? So I'm only going to tell you about free tools. Now, let's do a little bit of exploring of LinkedIn, and I'm just going to bring up the screen share capability here. All right. You should be able to see my screen. Can you see it? So this is the home screen within LinkedIn. I'm just going to take a look at from a profile perspective. And so for all of us, you know, like Kathy's question was, I really recommend you put a picture in there. You don't want to put a picture in that you know, has you in front of the Rocky Mountains. That's my take. In fact, here's a guy I just saw. This is a thing from Hungary. Now, I know this guy. I actually know him pretty well. He's a very talented web administrator. But I'm thinking, am I going to hire this guy based on this picture? I don't know. I think I'm going to gather my children and lock the doors, maybe, all right? And so I'm glad Omar's not on the call today. But, you know, I'm telling you, the picture people, you know, you want to make sure, is the picture getting across what you want to do? So it should be a professional picture. It doesn't necessarily be taken by a professional, but it should look professional. And it should be relatively recent. In fact, I really need to update. I don't know. What do you think? I need to update that picture. Well, what is the headline? What is the headline, that small headline you want to get across? Remember that, in fact, your profile is not a biography, so you don't have to put everything in there. But I do recommend that if you do some blogging on the side that reinforces the brand that you want, that you make sure you get your blog as part of it. If there are any other websites, maybe your company website, If you spend some time on Twitter, you can have access to it there. Be very thoughtful about how you use your summary. You know, in fact, not only should it be just filled with whatever keywords that you want to be used to be found, you can maybe even add a keyword section down below. I found that that can be helpful from a search perspective. And then for each job, once again, you don't have to have every job. I found that sometimes people look a little cross-eyed, though, from a job perspective if there is if there are a lot of gaps in time. Something. But for example, I don't suspect someone is going to hire me because I was a programmer analyst at Brokered Systems, back from 83 to 85. But I do include it with no description there. Down below that, I put the recommendations after that, part of the social proof. I would encourage you to think through, who is somebody that would recommend you? If you don't have a bunch of recommendations on your site already, I would recommend that you request them. There's no harm in doing that at all. In fact, one way to do that is think of people who you most respect and do a recommendation for them. There's a section you can have for applications. Applications, what I find, is a lot of people don't take advantage of those, but perhaps one that, from many people's perspective, two of them that I think could be used by almost everybody, and that is Box.net. It's an application. You access it from the very top of LinkedIn under the More menu, and you can add the application for Box.net. Basically, think of it almost as a file repository. And so what I wanted to do was, since part of what I do for a living is helping people get their P&P certification, so I've got files there that people can download for free. There's no shopping cart in front of it that they can just download that can help them consolidate their hours for their application. Also get an idea of what's involved with certification. I got a call from somebody from India yesterday for how to get their certification. So I get contacted on it a lot. This is one place I can send them to for this. An overview of our Leadership Fast Track program. There's actually not a person on this call that I wouldn't love to have in that program next year. Here's an overview of it. Here's an overview of the keynotes and workshops that we have. So from a marketing perspective, I've got that. I actually have a Google presentation. It's actually a video. For some reason, there's a problem with the link between LinkedIn right now and the Google presentation. But SlideShare is kind of the rough equivalent. Let's say you give a presentation at an industry event, or if you just an area that you have expertise in, if you create a slide deck and upload it to SlideShare, people can see this. And what it does is it reinforces the fact that Jack is an expert on this area. Now, it doesn't have to be a 90-slide deck. It might only be a 5-slide deck. If someone's looking for a job, it could be the equivalent of a resume, only it's much more interactive. With these, with SlideShare and with Google Presentations, you can include video. Right? So there's a lot of interesting things you can do. An application I use is BlogLink. So anybody here that blogs, is what you can do is automatically have your feed come in here. So I don't post these. In fact, earlier on when I said put a link to your blog, if you put a link to a blog in your profile, it'll automatically bring you in if you use the blog link. You know, Jake, you mentioned ask. Do you have a question, or was your point there to ask for the recommendations?
Just to ask for them, Andy. I ran into a situation recently where I've been working with a number of clients, and a client asked me for a recommendation, new client, and I had about 15 recommendations, maybe 15, but they were all 3 years old, and
And I get that. I don't know if anybody else is having trouble hearing you there, Jake. But the wisdom of what you're saying, ask for the recommendations, is right on. Man, I apologize, Jake. I'm having trouble seeing you. If you could type in the chat window what you're saying,
sure.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I can, Andy.
Cool. You know, I personally put my Amazon reading list in there only because it can give a heads up. The vast majority of my podcast episodes are interviews with people. My New Year's episode, I'm really excited. It's going to be Heidi Grant Halvorsen. This is a great book on goal setting, and she's a very engaging person. But it's a way for people can find out what's coming up on the podcast, what are some interesting books. I find a lot of people want to read more, but we're just too busy. There's a place to put events. There's other stuff. So there's all kinds of things that you can actually put on your profile. But the key thing that I want to strongly recommend is that you really think through, even just as the beginning point, is your headline and your summary, and just thinking through, what is it that I want people to know about me? And it doesn't necessarily have to be backward-looking as much as forward-looking. This isn't, it's not just this is what I've done, but this is how I'm positioning myself for the future also. Because, you know, this is your opportunity. Real quick on the group side, this came up before, is that, you know, there's some good groups to join. There was a while when I was looking to see if I could link in with more healthcare executives as a way of looking as a sales channel. So whatever group you're trying to reach or be a part of, there's some project management groups that I'm a part of, some speakers. Interestingly, for my Leadership Fast Track program, all of our interactions when we're not together go through here. It's just a private group. No one else can get in except for the people. So you might want to think about ways that you can use that. From a applications perspective, I don't think there's any others that I would say are just really critical. The skills section is an area that a lot of people don't know about. So what you can do is you can put in there and just note what are some specific skills that you want to be noted for with it, you know, and that shows up on your profile then as well. So there's a lot you can do there, but it really comes down to just some of the basics that you need to start with. Is there anything else over here I want to show you? Yeah, one last thing I want to show you before we go back into the presentation. That is on the homepage. Something I try to do is when I get the weekly email, I typically get an email from LinkedIn on Monday that's kind of an update, and it has some of the things that have gone on within your network. I try to find one from that email that I can go in and just give some sort of comment about, you know, like, hey, that's cool, or congratulations. These happen to be a lot of people just getting connected, but if I see a really interesting link, like Matt Bell I had on the podcast a while ago, so since I haven't had a chance to read it, I'm not going to tell him that's a great article because then I'd actually be lying. But earlier today, Jim Kouzes, who wrote the book The Leadership Challenge, sold over 2 million copies of that book. He had a note about the fact that the Leadership Challenge was voted one of their follow-up books was voted one of the best books of the year. And so I used that as a point to go in and give him a compliment. Like, congratulations. I agree 100%. Credibility is a great book. So this is a place, whether you do it through the email or you do it through here, of finding a place to make a comment. So here I'll just say, looking forward to checking that out, Donna. Just a very easy way to have just a brief interaction under positive circumstances. All right, you know, let me get back to the presentation part of it here. You know, there are so many different ways that you can actually use the tool. Tom, you mentioned, is it HIDA?
Yeah, HIDA.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with that. What's that?
It's an health industry association, and they are always looking for speakers.
Dude, we got to talk.
It's out of Chicago every other year.
And see, this is just an example of what I've known about that. No, it's relationships. I think everyone's on here. In fact, many of you probably found out about this session through LinkedIn, maybe through the podcast. But some things I just recommend you do right off the bat is I'll send these slides out to you. Update your profile. You can look at that formula that I have there for the elevator speech. You can maybe consider that one. But invite some colleagues. If you've only got, you know, 30 or 40 connections, I'm not saying that – I honestly don't believe it's the person with the most connections wins. But if you are in the business of fulfilling jobs or recruitment, or if you're looking for a job, there's a lot of value to having a lot of people. And I know for many, many people, they say, I don't accept a connection from people I don't know. And because you could be guilty by association. I've yet personally to hear a story of someone that lost a job or lost an opportunity because they were connected with Jeffrey Dahmer or something like that, right? So generally speaking, the wider the network, it probably is better. But it can be your strategy. You know, if your strategy is just the 5 people you know the best, that's cool. Just stay consistent with your strategy. Join some groups. Look for, well, how can I use Box.net? What can I put into a slideshow? You know, if Jeff's still in our session, he works for Cochlear, the people that do implants, it might be an overview of this is Bill and LinkedIn is you can go in and certainly ask questions, and that's a good thing. If you've got questions, you can open it up to the world. But you can also answer questions, and if your answer is picked as the best answer by the person who asked the question, that's tracked on your credibility. It's actually tracked. And so about 2 years ago or so, I set a goal of I want to be the person with the most best answers in the project management category. And it took me a while, but to this day, by a long margin, I've got the most best answers. It's not because I'm the smartest, but I just put the most effort into it right now, and that's the way it worked out. So select, what are a couple categories? Maybe there's some agile categories for the guys on the call that want to follow that. Maybe it's in data center administration or whatever it is. It's amazing, those areas. For answers, you do not have to upgrade. So that's available for everybody. So you don't have to pay. In fact, I've yet to find a reason to upgrade unless you are in the business of prospecting to get more people on the searches, or if you just do a lot of introductions to other people, then you can get more of those. But I try to spend 30 minutes or less within LinkedIn, and it's often much less than that. You can update the status, answer some questions. In fact, I take an RSS feed of the project management questions, I get it into what I use to consolidate my RSS feeds. And if I see a question that I'm like, I think I have value that I can add in that, and I think I maybe have some unique value, so I'm more likely to get a best answer on that, then I'll answer it. If not, I leave it to somebody else to do it. Try to make some comments, check out what's going on in some groups, write a recommendation. It doesn't have to take a lot of time. We got time for a question or two. Jake has a question. What I'm using for the RSS, or where I consolidate my RSS today, is I'm still an Outlook-based guy. And so Outlook 2007, I think, is what I'm using. And so within there, I have RSS feeds from Harvard Business Review, their blogs. There's probably five or so blogs. And in addition to the project management feed from LinkedIn, and you can get the feed from within LinkedIn. See, that's where you can get the actual feed address. Whether you ask your question in the chat window or you just want to do it through the phone, what question comes to mind as we've talked about this? Whether it's now or just don't hesitate to send a question to me later on, this is what I want you to do. In the chat window, type in this. What was something that was helpful from today? What was something that was helpful? Go ahead and type it into the window. Jeff, I don't personally follow up with the people that have been looking at my page, but if I'm not mistaken, you only get to know who is looking at your page if you have upgraded. If you haven't upgraded, you just know how many people have looked at your page, but you can't see who is looking at your page. I'm pretty sure that only comes with the advancement.
Andy?
Okay, so seeing the headline, Nick, I'm the same way, man. I need to see examples. The whole concept of brand, I am glad some of you mentioned that about the branding, because I find that I traditionally in my career, I haven't been intentional enough on that. And the applications, finding ways to use the applications. Yeah, excellent. Those are all things that would be of value. Well, here's some ways to take action on this. Consider drafting your elevator speech and just thinking through, what is your networking strategy? I mean, seriously, let's get intentional in 2012 about how you use these tools. Because if I'm not intentional, I spend an hour on Farmville, okay? Actually, I've never played Farmville, but you know what I'm saying? We waste too much time if we're not intentional. Just start using the tool. Update your profile. Force yourself to develop some habits of going in and just using it weekly and starting to comment on some people. Maybe finding some ways to a group or two to perhaps join. Okay? Well, I believe Hanukkah starts tonight, if I've got that right, and Christmas is around the corner, and so I have to give you, like, a gift here, okay? So here's one gift. And that is, if you, thanks, Kathy, as Photoshop, not a real hat, but if you take action on this and you update your profile, send me a link to your profile. So send me an email and in that email, a link to where your LinkedIn profile is, I'll take a look at it. And if anything comes to mind of, hey, you know what, here's an idea of something you might want to consider, I'd be glad to share it with you, all right? So I don't promise to have the greatest insight on that, but I'd be glad to share whatever insight I have on that one. Yes, Andy Claus will be glad after Christmas Eve when I get a chance to sit back. Stuffed with cookies to be able to do that. In addition to that, I mentioned the very little secret of business. E-learning normally goes for $97, but because of you going through this, I actually toyed with the thought of giving it to you for free, and I totally could. But what I found is if it's free, you won't do it or you won't appreciate it. So for $27, you can get access to this. And also, in 2012, we're going to have an expanded version of this, that when we have the, this is the one that is about 40 to 45 minutes of content. The dirty little secret, there's some exercises that make it more like an hour and a half offline. But there's going to be an expanded version next year that if you buy it, this current version, you get the newer, more extended version for free. Okay? So the link is there, and the coupon code is there as well. And in fact, this session, as well as that e-learning, counts towards PDUs. And Paul, I'm very impressed. You got your P&P yesterday, and you're thinking about PDU today. Very, very good. Okay. So what I'll do is I will send the emails to the email address that you registered for this session. And if you don't get an email from me before the end of the day today with the slide deck, then send me an email. Just say, you know, Andy, I didn't get it, all right? So, here's the deal, guys. That is it. I hope you enjoyed the session. If you have any follow-up questions, don't hesitate to access me offline. Thanks for joining me today. Have a great one.
Thanks. Merry Christmas.
Hey, Merry Christmas to you, too.
Thank you, Andy. This was wonderful. Thanks.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Andy. Have a good day.
Thanks, Andy. Bye.
Appreciate
it.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.